Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians as we continue our study of this most wondrous letter of Paul that he wrote from prison in Rome to the church that he had founded at Philippi. This morning we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. And moving through verse 18, please focus upon God's holy and inerrant word. Paul says this to the church at Philippi, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Father, I pray that you would give us burning hearts over this word, that you would give us burning hearts over the gospel, and pray that you would teach us from this text. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, there appears to be some bickering in the Philippian church. It's a good church. It's a solid church. It's an orthodox church. But like any church, it's full of sinners. And thus, there have been some disagreements among the people. There's been some dispute. Look at chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, Paul says, "I entreat you, Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women." So, Paul doesn't get into what the problem is there. But there is some bickering, disagreement going on in the church. Now, in the opening 11 verses of chapter 2 that we have looked at the last few weeks, Paul has been telling the believers at Philippi one of the best ways to get over your bickering, one of the best ways to attain unity in the church, one of the best ways to have spiritual unity among the people. And that is, as we talked about almost ad infinitum in chapter 2, is that we are to count others more important than ourselves. We are to place others' interests before our own. A lot of bickering, a lot of disputation comes from people wanting to get their own way. And Paul says, put others before yourself. Now, in the passage before us this morning, and I'm not going to try and fool you here, there's some very difficult things in this passage, but Paul here in verses 12 through 18 provides some other ways to attain spiritual unity in the church. And we ought to have great interest in this. We want to have spiritual unity in our church. We want to get along together in Christ. Paul has already given us one way to do that. Put others in the church before yourself. Now he's going to give us some other ways. Let's begin by looking at verse 12, a most difficult passage. But Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, we need to be very careful how we deal with this verse, how we read this verse. I believe it is often misunderstood, often used as a proof text for a theology of salvation by works. It's often used as a proof text for earning salvation, for meriting salvation. I mean, look at the end there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Note, first of all, how Paul begins verse 12. He begins with deep affection. Paul calls his audience, my beloved. This address is intended for believers. This letter was intended for believers. Go back to chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Paul is here writing to people who are believers. This letter is for those who are already saved by the work of Christ. He first, in verse 12, commends them for their previous obedience. But as John Calvin says, now there is a need that they should stir up themselves. Paul is absent from them, and so they must work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, be careful here, because what Paul means here is that they are not to work out, merit, or earn their own salvation. Indeed, not. For salvation is a free act of God's grace. So what is Paul saying here? What he is saying is this. Is they as believers at Philippi are to work out in life the salvation that has been given to them in Christ. Let me say that again. They are to work out in life the salvation that is given to them in Christ. In other words, he is exhorting them to diligence in their Christian walk, in their Christian course, in their Christian life. They are to take care of their spiritual lives. That's what Paul is getting at here. He's saying, in other words, you're already saved by the work of Christ. Now apply that to all areas of your life. Work it out in your life. You're saved. Work it out with fear and trembling. Work it out in fear and trembling. Christians are to express their salvation in all aspects of their lives. Christians are to express their salvation in all aspects of their lives. Now, the Greek verb here in verse 12, to work out, is in the present tense. It is something that is ongoing. It's something that needs to be done in the present by those who have been saved by Christ Jesus. Apply your salvation to your life with fear and trembling, is what Paul is saying here. And we are to do it with fear and trembling. That is, by great care, by circumspection. It is to be done with ever so much diligence and with great pains. We are to grow in grace and we are to shake off any spiritual sloth. We are to shake off any spiritual laziness. We're to do it with great fear and we are to tremble before God as we apply the salvation that He has given to us in our lives as Christians. I often sense a spiritual laziness in my own life, a indifference, an apathy. But here, Paul is saying we have to have burning hearts for Christ. Burning hearts for Christ. Work it out in your life and do it with fear and do it with trembling and do it with fervor. But note, we are not left on our own to do this, to say, buck up, chin up, go do it. There's some truth to that. We are to work at it and do it with fear and trembling. But look what Paul says in verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It's interesting to note that not only is our salvation of Christ, but our sanctification is also of Christ. It is God who is working in you. It is God who gives the whole ability. It is the grace of God that saves us, and it is the grace of God that inclines our hearts and our wills to do what is good and right and true. It is the grace of God that enables us to perform what is good and to act according to what is good. Now, remember what Paul said back in chapter 1, verse 6. This gets right at the heart of it. Listen to what he says. Chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this. Remember, we talked about that passage. I'm absolutely certain of this. Apostolic authority here. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You're not left alone to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. It is Christ working in you. And this demonstrates our total dependence upon God. He is working in us that we would become more and more like Jesus. God with us, God in us, God for us. Now, what is it that the Philippian believers, and indeed all Christians, need to work on in their walk with Christ? Look at verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. Remember, there has been some bickering and some petty disputes in the church. There's been some squabbles in the congregation. Chapter 4, verse 2. Among the women. And so Paul goes right after this by commanding them to do all things without grumbling or questioning. How do you work out your salvation in your life and in the church? Paul hits at something right away. First, they are not to grumble or complain. Do all things without grumbling. Here. The apostle is meddling because we all like to grumble. It's one of those great sins in our hearts that we love to protect. We love to grumble against our employers, against our spouses, against our children. We love to grumble. But Paul is saying here, such an attitude truly adorns our profession in a negative way. No matter what we are doing, we are to have the mind of Christ. Paul said that earlier in chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. As I look at the life of Jesus, there's one thing I see missing. Grumbling. You never see Jesus grumbling. And of course, the great example of grumbling in the Bible, as Robert read this morning, is the repeated murmuring of Israel in the wilderness. Now, Paul deals with their grumbling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul describes the grumbling of the Israelites and how it applies to the church. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 9 through 11. Listen very closely to what Paul says here. Paul says, we must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Paul says the grumbling of the Israelites in the wilderness is for us. It's an example to us. It is to be applied to us in the church. And therefore, we need to examine ourselves. Are we like the grumbling Israelites? You've got bickering and disputations going on here in the church. And Paul is saying, are you grumbling like the Israelites? Paul says, do all things without grumbling. I would have loved if he had said, don't grumble all the time. But he didn't say that. He said, do all things without grumbling. Or questioning. Now, we have to be careful here with that particular word. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. The word in Greek is one that really means to argue, to dispute. That is always to be confrontational. Of course, there's nothing wrong with asking questions in church. There's nothing wrong with questioning church leadership. There's nothing wrong about questioning interpretations of the Bible and so forth. But what Paul is talking about is a constant fault finding with everything in the church. A quibbling with every decision made by the session. A heart of finding fault with what the pastors wear. Finding fault with every sermon. Getting in your car as you're driving home and saying, I can't believe he said that. A constant bickering. Reminds me of the Greek god Momus. He's not a very famous god, but he's one of the Greek gods. He was the carping deity who never did anything, but he found fault with everybody and everything. He never did anything himself. But he carped at everything that everybody else did. Again, I believe we are called to self-examination here. Are we like this? These are not marks of growing in grace. These are not expressions of the mind of Christ. This is not applying our salvation and fear and trembling to how we live. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. Grumbling all the time, arguing all the time, that's not applying our salvation to how we live. Christians should be different. Look at verse 15. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Christians should be different than the world. You know, the world grumbles. The world complains. The world carps. The world disputes everything. We, on the other hand, are to live above reproach in the midst of a fallen world. We are to shine as lights to a dark world, a world that is groping in the darkness, the world that is lost in the darkness. The text literally says in Greek, I think it's quite interesting, it says, you are to shine as stars to a darkened world. You are to shine as stars to a darkened world. Thus, instead of being grumblers and complainers, we are to illuminate the gospel to a broken and dying world. Stars illuminating a darkened world. I suppose one of the worst things I ever heard about another Christian was when an unbeliever turned to me and said, if that guy's a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. You because that Christian was a grumbler and a complainer. He was not shining the gospel to this fallen and broken and dark world. So far in our text, we have seen that two ways a Christian is to apply his salvation to life is first, not to grumble and complain, and secondly, to display the light of the gospel to others in how we live. Now, Paul gives us another way to work out or apply our salvation in verse 16. He says, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Another way to work out our salvation, to apply our salvation, is by holding fast to the Scriptures, the word that points to eternal life in Christ. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, the great psalm about the Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have stored up God's word in my heart at the very core and center of my being, that I might grow in grace and not sin against the Lord. Oh, that we would have an insatiable appetite, that we would have an insatiable desire to learn and live God's word. You want to apply the salvation that has come to you in Christ, then you live His word that He has so graciously given to you. The third question of the Westminster Larger Catechism is, what is the Word of God? The Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, the only rule of faith and obedience. J.I. Packer says, the Bible is our true light and chief means of grace. We are to grasp it. We are to hold on to it for dear life. It equips us to apply our salvation to how we live. And finally, in verses 17 through 18, Paul says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Remember, working out one's salvation does not include bickering and sniping at one another in the church. Rather, Paul says that there is to be a mutual encouragement among believers in the church. A mutual encouragement and a mutual joy in the church. Paul is happy to lay down his life for the edification of other believers. Paul is happy to be martyred for the uplifting of other believers. If his martyrdom helps them in their faith, then that is a joyful thing. That is an encouraging thing, Paul says. Oh, to be a joyful and content Christian. Not a bickering and grumbling Christian, but to be a joyful and content Christian. So here in chapter 2, Paul is giving Christians specific ways in which to flesh out their faith, in which to take the grace that has come from God and brought us from death to life, and to take that and to live it. That's what Paul's dealing with, to promote spiritual unity in the church. And here, so far, he has given, in chapter 2, five marks of applying our salvation to how we live. Five marks. If you have pen and pencil, you want to write these down. Mark number 1. Believers are to be humble and to count others more significant than themselves. Verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Secondly, in all our labors and in all our lives and in everything we do, we are not to be grumblers and complainers. Verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Thirdly, we are to be different. We are to be holy. We are to shine as lights to a darkened world. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as stars in the world. Fourthly, we are to hold fast to the Scriptures. Verse 16. Holding fast to the Word of Life. Gripping the Word of Life. Finally, the fifth mark. We are to encourage one another in the faith. And this is to be done, as Paul says, gladly and joyfully. We are to flesh out our salvation in obedience, in humility, and with great joy. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for the work of Christ that has saved us, has delivered us, has brought us from death to life. But we thank you as well, O Lord, for the work of Christ in our sanctification. Thank you for the work of the Spirit that works in us, that we would be more and more like Jesus. And I pray for this church, O Lord, that would have all the marks that we have looked at today. May Christ be glorified in the life of this church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.